Mr. Mai, it's Raina Sarah. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you actually for waiting for this late session. We've had a fairly lengthy, extraordinary Timble sitting. I'll come back to that later. So first of all, an update from our hard-working and dedicated colleagues at Department of Health. Since the last update yesterday, there has been one confirmed positive test for coronavirus on the Isle of Man. There have been no further confirmed deaths from coronavirus. The total number of confirmed cases of coronavirus here now stands at 326. The number of deaths in the community remains at 17, and the hospital deaths remain at 6. There have been 3,416 concluded tests, 43 people are awaiting results, and 6 people are awaiting tests. 19 people are currently being treated at the hospital. And the usual message, which we do sincerely mean this, to everyone in Nobles and recovering home, we wish you a speedy recovery. Now, since the start of the pandemic, I've been truly impressed by the adaptability of the people of the Isle of Man, as you have all continued to work and adjust to the changing restrictions and limitations of everyday life. You have heard me talk many times about the Manx resiliency, and our island has shown bucket loads of it. From the people adapting to a new way of working from home, to the people heading into work day by day to keep our essential services running. I know it has not been easy. We've had to quickly change our working practices and redefine the art of possible with limited face-to-face interaction and a new reliance on technology and communication. We have seen businesses move full teams of employees to remote working, introduce strict social distancing measures to ensure the welfare of their staff, and we've seen thousands of people take a sensible and well-balanced approach to keeping our island safe and the economy going. I want to sincerely thank you all. Last month, we announced that construction, trades and horticulture-related businesses could return to work where it was safe to do so. The first phase return to certain areas of our economy was an essential part of our move towards stay safe. And this is safeguarding jobs for our economy now and for the future. It allows us to reduce the pressure on parts of our society and our economy and allows us to focus on those areas likely to need support for much longer. Since the return to work, we have received positive feedback from our partners across sectors who have found sensible and safe ways to return to work and resume important economic activity on the island. Businesses have offered good support to their workers to make sure they're safe, and with the salary support scheme working alongside, it means that the vulnerable workers don't have to go back to work until they are ready. Thank you to those businesses who have adapted to these changes. The return to work of different sectors has always been a delicate balance, and one which will be achieved through regular dialogue and constant review, through our clearly defined measures of health readiness, social pressures, and economic pressures. This week, the Council of Ministers published a key medium-term response document that outlines how we will monitor these measures in order to decide how we move forward in a considered, transparent, measured and phased way. We have now moved into stage two, stay safe. This will involve a series of decisions about the current health, social and economic restrictions. And we will be reviewing this every 2 weeks with the next review set for this coming Thursday. In the meantime, we continue to support our business sectors that are struggling with the continuing restrictions. The raft of schemes introduced last month are providing much needed assistance to some of the most hardest hit sectors. To date, we have worked through a considerable volume of applications and inquiries for our various support schemes. The Department's Coronavirus Business Support Scheme has been receiving hundreds of inquiries a day. We have now paid out over £7 million to over 2,000 businesses and self-employed. We are continuing to work round the clock to ensure that eligible applicants get the essential funding as quickly as possible and have processed 97% of all applications received. our bank loan guarantee scheme, created in partnership with HSBC, Lloyds, Barclays, Conestoga Bank and RBSI, has already approved £1.2 million of additional funding to 23 businesses and applications still coming in. We have now paid over £1.9 million worth of applications of our strategic capacity scheme to help 37 businesses in our tourism accommodation sector, with 61 more applications in the pipeline. This fund will help accommodation providers to ensure creditors within the local supply chain are paid first and help boost the local economy. We have also processed over £60,000 worth of support to businesses evolving their operating models through the Business Adaptation Scheme, and this has shown the true Manx innovation is alive and well. Treasury has processed over 2,600 applications for the Manx Earnings Replacement Allowance to help those displaced from work at this difficult time. The Salary Support Scheme has now paid out over £6 million to help businesses to retain employees and maintain a consistent and engaged workforce that has supported over 8,000 employees in the workforce. Our hope is that with all the support packages and working together as government, business and society, actual job losses can be contained. We are still on a long and uncertain journey, and we know we will need to revisit the support options going forward to ensure our businesses have the security and assistance as we head into a very uncertain future. This is another reason why the need to bring these businesses back to work in a safe manner. We continue to work with Treasury, industry partners and associations to make sure we have a frank and rounded picture of the island's economic landscape and the challenges our businesses are facing. We are now extensively looking at our longer term economic planning and what support might be required on the longer term basis. Working together, we will forge a new way that uses the best Manx innovation, the best Manx resilience to ultimately establish a new normal. But we still have difficult decisions and judgments ahead. Yesterday, we announced the cancellation of this year's Classic TT and the Manx Grand Prix. A clear example of one of those difficult decisions, one that we never wanted to have to make. A decision that was unfortunately inevitable in the light of travel restrictions and logistic challenges facing the island, and one that was made in full consultation with all relevant stakeholders. That's again part of our framework shown in the medium-term response. Where we need to make decisions, we will do so, with all the evidence that we have, and we will consult and we will listen to a wide range of opinions in doing so. The Department for Enterprise has a key role to play in this, and we continue to play an active part in facilitating these important discussions and decisions. While we continue to see shifts in our culture, our society and our economy, I'm confident that the island's spirit and determination will see us through. The Chief Minister's clarification yesterday regarding visiting friends and family is a further acknowledgement of the good judgment shown by the Isle of Man public and the trust in people making sensible choices. Under the current legislative framework, up to two people could visit another person at their premises. They should stay outside and they should maintain 2 metre distance from other householders at all times. We know the effect of social distancing has had on many people. So this is a sensible and pragmatic way to support people's mental well-being while maintaining social distance. It is still an offence to gather in public spaces such as beaches, glens and parks. And I must remind you, we are not out of the woods yet. We still have a long way to go before we can resume our normal lives. The best thing you can do is to keep washing your hands, maintain social distance measures and stay at home where you can. But please show respect for others and continue to make the right decisions for you and your family and your community. Thank you for that. I'll be happy to take questions at this time. And first up, we have Rob from 3FM. Pass the mic, Rob.
Pass the mic, Minister. First of all, sadly, of course, the Manx Grand Prix and the Classic TT cancelled for obvious reasons around the pandemic. I just wondered when exactly you may get a clear picture of what the total financial impact is going to be on the island of cancelling all our major motorsport events for this year.
That's a good point, Rob. There, the financial impact is widespread, without a doubt, and that's obviously part of the sadness in having to make a decision of this particular nature, because it does impact a large part of our economy. So, in terms of what that cost is, we've done the analysis that we do every year with regards to TT and this event too. So, there is a figure there that would say that that's what that impact will be. But it's very, very much on our minds in terms of the overall impact of this pandemic in terms of our economy, because the Treasury Minister has committed to an emergency budget in July. So those figures are now being collated to understand the wider impact for the Isle of Man.
Thank you very much. My second question regarding the medium-term strategy, I know this is looking a little way forward. There are no specific dates as to when these phases come in. Phase four is the return of lifestyle and tourism, I think I'm correct in saying. And then it's not until phase six that the borders would reopen, and that is largely dependent on the UK's situation. How are those lifestyle and tourism businesses going to get the support they need to get the business they need in that time if they're not able to attract any tourists from off island until the borders reopen?
No, again, a very valid question, because I think we'd have to accept that the hospitality industry, and obviously it relies quite heavily on the tourism sector, and there's 300,000 odd visitors that we normally have to our island. That's 300,000 people who are not going to be spending on our island. So there is going to be an impact, as well as other potential measures, social distancing and so forth. But what we do know in terms of the borders, you highlight there that that is almost outside our control in terms of travel and other issues. There, what where we are, we can control our internal economy, and that's why that is the last phase that's in that approach. So if things change elsewhere in a more rapid fashion, that could be reviewed, but I would suggest that that would be one of the last things, and that's why we very clearly stated it in this document, which we just debated in Timwell for the last 4 hours. So it's it is an important part to it. So we do accept that the borders is an issue that's, as I say, not just involving the Isle of Man, clearly further afield that we need to be very, very conscious about.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob. I think over to you, Simon, at Business 365. Pastor Mike, welcome.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, Minister. A couple of questions, if I may. News today of Eastern Airways' withdrawal from the Teesside route, citing the cancellation of the Festival of Motorcycling. Now, are you, as Enterprise Minister, worried that at the end of all this, we may have an airport, but no airlines flying in or out of it?
Yes, travel is a very serious conundrum. I can totally understand, obviously, Eastern Airways' decision, and clearly you've just got to see the headlines, the international headlines, with regards to travel and the impact that this is having. I would suggest that whilst we have open skies, we do have closed seas, and the government, we made this administration to purchase the steam packet has been a really, I think, clear vision that has really helped us. So our closed seas will stand us in very, very good stead. But open skies is an area that will come under, I think, discussion, as already, I think, Travel Watch have highlighted to members as well. So when we get a clear understanding of what's happening on the international stage, Simon, I think we'll have a better understanding of what we need to have in terms of what will be critical infrastructure in terms of the guys. Clearly, we subsidise the patient transfer service into Liverpool, which is run at the moment by Loganair in the past, that has been with Flybe. So that's a service that would have to continue one way or another. So yes, we do have that in our probably midterm considerations.
Thank you. And secondly, I mean, amid all the gloom, there has been some very positive and encouraging news today with the handover of the Lord Street site for development by Kane Limited. Now, how important is a huge £25 million development like this in sending out the message that the Isle of Man will be open for business and looking forward positively?
Yes, no, I was, I guess I was pleased and delighted to see that news that deal has actually been completed and that handover has been concluded. And I think it is a signature development that we as a government really wanted to see happen, which has been many, many decades in the making. And this is a local company. Clearly, there is construction back being employed and operating. And we hope they've got the planning approvals, and we hope it can progress in some shape, fashion or form. But I will say, having spoken to a number of other developers just this last week, confidence still remains quite strong in terms of the Isle of Man and where we're going and what we're doing. So I'd like to think that the Isle of Man is still a good place to invest and develop. So that is encouraging news. And as I say, it's not the only piece of encouraging news from developers that I've heard of recently. Moving on to you. Right, thank you, Simon. Moving on to you, Paul.
Hi, Laurence. The way you're reporting numbers, you've changed it. You were having presumed got over the virus. Now on the website, it goes as total active cases, which is now 40. And basically, the numbers seem to have altered a bit. People who follow this very closely, they track your numbers. Any idea why you've changed the way you're reporting the numbers?
I don't. The numbers just presented to me as I finished Timwell to say this is these are the latest figures. So I'm just relaying them to you, the media, and then the Manx public, really. So, yes, I've just obviously followed the website to have a look of the data there to make sure that it is kept up to date. But, I don't have an answer to that. I guess the health minister would have to respond to that.
A few weeks ago, you kind of indicated, and we've been talking about for some time now, about this virtual TT. I'm hoping you're going to be able to give us a little bit more hope that there's going to be some sort of TT, albeit virtual, this year.
Well, a virtual TT has, I'm led to believe, a number of logistical challenges digitally in terms of how that races. We know of the virtual game where two people can play, but can that be done on a larger scale? So our colleagues in our digital agency are speaking to our motorsport team, and I'm waiting for an update of that. But outside that, Paul, I would say that it's very, very much on our minds as to entertainment for the TT fans and the Grand Prix fans. There's a phenomenal back catalogue. I see this with other sports. They're replaying, you know, cup finals and things like that. You know, and you know, there was a film coming, wasn't there, with regards to Mike Hailwood around TT, which is probably one of the greatest motorcycling comebacks of all time. And you know, so I'm sure Tim and others will be going through their archives and considering what they're going to replay. But entertainment is definitely on our agenda, and we'll consider how do we keep whet that appetite. So that's a good point. That thanks again, Paul. Paul, was that you? So I now move on to Josh at ITV. Pass the mic, Josh.
Thank you, Minister. In regards to returning to some form of normality, there are some people who wish to return to work who can't because of childcare commitments, whether that be after construction starting again or the upcoming retail services opening. Some are feeling pressured to return but can't. What support is available for them?
Well, there is continuing support for those who can't go or don't wish to go back to work if they feel that they're vulnerable in any way whatsoever possible. But you just mentioned there with regards to those with your, you know, young people, young children, and I say it wasn't easy, which was in the presentation there with regards to people working from home. Many have been doing this pretty much from day one. Our finance industry, our digital industry, and sometimes they could be living in fairly close quarters. You know, if you could imagine a family, there might be a husband and wife doing two different jobs and they're trying to homeschool. Big challenges there, and that is recognised that that is an issue, which is why, you know, the hub schools is very important, and our colleagues in education and the minister is working on this particular issue as we speak.
Okay, thank you. My second question is, the next phase of planning will see non-essential retail and services return to work. Will this again be a choice and not a necessity, similar to the construction sector? And are you able to give us an insight into what sort of safety precautions are already being worked on so these retail spaces can operate?
Yes, it is. And I think this one is a little more difficult, it's fair to say. The construction and horticulture, a lot of outdoor activity, a lot easier to maintain social distancing. With regards to non-essential shops, not so easy. However, it's well worth recognising how a number of shops have already adapted to deliveries, click and pick up, for example, as another option. It is one we will have to monitor very closely. We're trying to assemble as much information we can from the Chamber of Commerce and Claire Christian, who's featured on here before, I know, with regards to retail, to understand how we could do this. Because if you open up all the shops all at one go, we could have a very, very crowded, you know, high street very quickly. So we do need to think about this very carefully. And what we're trying to do is, as always, do this in a very orderly fashion to make sure that we can do this that's going to suit our society as well as our economy.
And just to clarify, will it be a choice for them to return to work like construction?
In a similar way, if there is any sort of vulnerable issues, and we want people to be comfortable and content that they have the right mechanisms in place. So I think that is very important that they do that. So we're consulting with various different organisations to understand how different shops can operate, because they have different activities. And I know there's a raft of people in the retail sector that have close quarters are quite concerned. So we do, it is very much on our agenda, and we're gathering as much evidence that, as we can, so as we can make a well-informed decision when we do make that, when we announce that.
Thank you, Josh.
And I think we got Chris Kay from Energy. Alex is next from BBC. Got a new look there, Alex, I see.
Yeah, rocking the baldy look today. Minister, you say we've passed the £7 million threshold now for support, which has been handed out to businesses. I know that originally there was £100 million of support allocated. I understand that £100 million won't all be going in the form of direct payments to businesses. But what's the upper limit of support payments which can be made? When does the money run out, so to speak?
Well, first of all, I'd point out, Alex, that 100 million was about the impact on our economy. So there's revenues, significant revenues that government would rely upon within that 100 million. So it's not direct spend. So that's greatly reduced from that, I might point out. But we did state very clearly that there were funds there up to 6 months. Treasury Minister made that point more than once, I'm sure. And of course, there were moves with regards to gaining access to loans if needed as well at the same time. So we know we're comfortable at that particular period, but what we're hopefully starting to see is certain sectors go back to work, they can start to contribute to the economy. So therefore the support that will be required becomes less as more sectors actually go back to work.
Is that necessarily true though? Because with different sectors opening at different times, it stands to reason that as certain sectors get back on their feet, others begin to suffer more.
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, it's difficult to say until you actually do the VAT returns and do the analysis. And that, of course, is what it comes back to our colleagues in Treasury who are trying to collate this information as much as possible. I mean, it's interesting to think, isn't it, just going through that debate that we had here, this midterm response to COVID-19. And you think back, was it the 19th of March, that fateful day when we had our very first case? You know, how do we know what that impact is? We know it's significant because we've closed down pretty much most of the economy. I think it was 75% of the economy. So those that are producing, and I want to say thank you to those industries, the finance and the digital industries, who have continued to perform, and some of them perform very well indeed, that have supported the economy, the Isle of Man, therefore the taxes, therefore the frontline services were very necessary. So, but what I would concede there though, Alex, is that there will be different businesses affected at different levels. And that's why, as we return these sectors, it allows us to focus in on those areas that are continue to be affected and understand what kind of support we need to give them ongoing.
Thank you. And just to ask you another question there, Minister. I know yesterday the Chief Minister said that he would certainly like to see the motorcycling calendar come back, bounce back even stronger next year. Do you echo that, or do you realistically think that TT to 2021 and indeed the Festival of Motorcycling 2021, if they go ahead, may well have a very different look and feel to them?
It's everything's possible. I guess this is what's your new normal. You're asking what is the normal TT. What we know is that things are going to be different for quite some time, and that's why this report, which is pretty extensive report, if you do get a chance, do go through it, because it highlights, you know, the journey we've been on here, the decision making that we've used in terms of the data, and it sort of highlights where we want to go. But it's a living document. It's got to be able to change as and when other circumstances change. And whilst we can control a certain amount here, and we've been focused in on the containment of this virus, suppressing this virus, and that which has been fantastic, and the achievement is quite incredible. Other jurisdictions, so we can get to that point, but what we don't know is what's the rest of the world going to do, and that's why you talk about TT. That means people coming to the island, so therefore that would be outside our control effectively.
Thank you
Alex, and we got last but not least, that Tim. Pass to my Minister.
I can tell you that having an announcement on Thursday regarding some TT related should at least, I think, in part keep people entertained, but more on that to come. Just want to pick up on Alex Bell's point there. How hopeful, though, are you realistically for the TT, the Classic, and the MGP for next year? We've had all the stories of non-deposit and payments from accommodations not being paid out. There's a probable fear, I would imagine, of travelling around the corner that will affect next year. Could be a lack of carriers. People are going to be without earnings. We're not even really seeing yet the huge economic fallout that's to come. These are huge scars from this pandemic that really could hit the events next year.
Yeah, you've highlighted them all there very well there, Tim. But pretty much all those are outside our control on the Isle of Man. All we would say is that we would want the TT to come back, and we would want to make it bigger and better than ever. You'll of course remember the foot and mouth, and you know what happened there, and consequently, you know, it did come back, and it has become bigger and better than ever. So I think there's a commitment there, certainly from a government perspective. You heard from Chief Minister, you hear from me and others, I'm sure, to say, yes, this is part of who we are. And that's why we want to do everything we can to bring it back. So all we can do is really look at the midterm issues, really. And I come back to this report, if I may, because it is about a midterm response. And what we've got to do is to be able to be still very fluid in understanding what we can do, to what we can control, and then depend on what happens elsewhere is outside our control, but we will adapt.
Just a quick supplementary on that. I mean, foot and mouth, you can't really compare foot and mouth with coronavirus, the effects that are going to be longer lasting.
Correct, but the TT was cancelled, and it was a really traumatic issue. It was a huge, you know, financial cost to the Isle of Man, which is where a lot of the debate is going around at the moment. So that's the point to accept. So we would, as I say, we still remain committed to the event and what it is.
And second question, following Tim Walsh just now. Is the Council of Ministers afraid of scrutiny from the court? It seems to be a stark split developing now between the Legislative Council and the House of Keys with the Comyn vote. We know that Comyn needs to be flexible in these times, but isn't scrutiny important as well?
Yeah, of course it is, absolutely. That's, you know, the democracy that we are, and we're really fortunate to have the, shall we say, a small parliament, small government, and we can adapt. And the great thing is, what's just happened is we've just had a four-hour virtual Timwell session, so our parliament has adjusted very, very quickly. You know, the oldest continuous parliament in the world is meeting virtually, so really groundbreaking. So that's just happened right there, Paul. Tim, but I would say also the scrutiny committees continue. I know I'm before the Public Accounts Committee on Friday I'll have to answer to the support schemes that we have put in place, how they're performing, being challenged on their all the detail on that. So it does continue. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
All right, Tim. Great. So I think we've done two questions all. Is there any other questions anyone would want to ask this time? Looks like Rob.
Sorry, just a very quick one with what you mentioned before and what the Chief Minister mentioned yesterday, just to clarify, with regards to the face-to-face visits, obviously, as long as social distancing is in place, can that visit between, say, two people, is it members of the same household? Because, of course, as you said there, we want to avoid large gatherings, just to clarify.
Yeah, so it is really, it's intended really for your loved ones, and particularly the elderly who have actually been cooped up and remain cooped up. And the opportunity there is now for you to be able to go and visit them, sit in the garden with your loved ones there, and be able to converse with them and actually see that face to face rather than the screen that we're doing now or through a window. So, but we want people to be sensible here, use common sense, and it's important that they continue to do that.
Thank you.
Tim, I think you had a second question, is it, Tim?
Yeah, this is one just on the schemes that we've had a common theme on, and this is from Collins Barbers in Ramsey. On behalf of all small businesses, are we going to get any help with the rates that are now due in a few weeks' time? I got £3,000 because my business is now closed until further notice. We know that's being extended, but will that £3,000 move into the following 3 months? He's pointing out he's got a rates bill of £1,940 plus other bills, and he's now out of pocket. That £3,000 has just gone. So what is the next stage that we're hearing about in the £3,000 support scheme?
Well, first of all, with regards to rates, you do need to take that up if it's your local authority or for central government. If you have difficulties, do raise that point. Similarly, with regards to utilities, if you've got any problems with there, contact the utility company and look for some form of deferment. In terms of the ongoing support, Tim, which you're asking, will be under review. And what we've got to understand, you mentioned a barber's there. And clearly, social distancing will be very difficult in that particular case, and that is technically retail. So there lies a differential with regards to retail that we have to understand and introduce when we know it can be safe for them to conduct their business. So we recognise there's going to be a need for ongoing support for a host of different sectors, and our focus will be on that going forward.
I just quoted the barbers. They could have quoted the micropub beer sellers in Peel. We've had other businesses get in touch. They're all saying that £3,000 because their ongoing expenses is going pretty quickly as they try.
Yeah,
he can't work, but the microbrewery had buying punnets and trays to do takeaways with, and that's expensive as well.
I mentioned the adaptation grant that we have, and we've had a host of inquiries in that particular space. And it gets back to the point I made earlier with regards to innovation. That's exactly what you need to do. The Chamber of Commerce have a service, incidentally, with regards to business advice service, and I sort of recommend that people actually make contact with them, because if you've got an idea, you may want to flush that out as quickly as you possibly can, because there could be opportunities and around the corner. So it doesn't apply in all businesses, but please think about innovation.
Thank you.
I think we might have concluded all the questions. But actually, I'll tell you what, I have a question for you, the media, because I was just thinking before, each one of you probably represent a different demographic, a different audience on the Isle of Man. I'm just interested in your view in terms of how your rates government has performed up to date, maybe in a scale of 1 to 10. Tell me what what's your feedback been. Maybe, I don't know. So maybe Tim first.
As a journalist, we're not meant to have an opinion.
Oh, you could be a politician. Okay, anyone else want to venture?
Five. That's right in the middle.
Paul's put us at a five.
Right. Well, you can't upset anyone.
Anyone else want to venture? Just a feedback from, I know both all you run the social media campaign, so it's
quite
interesting.
I'll just say that the press conferences are getting an enormous following, and there probably is a bigger interest in what is coming out from the announcements, and potentially, and it's been a talking point for a number of years now, political engagement.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that's come through more than anything. People are more interested in politics. You know, they talk about the apathy and our past. Now there is very, very a clear interest. And that's encouraging to hear, I have to say. So I just thought I'd throw the question back at you.
Lawrence, before we go, as we're having a bit of a chit-chat, can I just give a plug for an event tomorrow? The Royal Television Society Isle of Man are having a Zoom conference and everyone's invited to attend because the TV journalists, are going to be put under the scrutiny of the public on what they think it's been like, because obviously it's been very Marmite. People love the questions. People hate the questions. People think we ask the same questions all the time and so on. So the public get a chance tomorrow, and all details on the Royal Television Society's website. Thank you for the plug.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Paul. Great. So thank you very much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Before I do a shout out, which is actually going to be a video clip that will show a dedication and commitment to people around the island. So it's a continuation of what we've done before. I just want to say Man and Sonder Brack, Isle of Man forever. Tani Sushi, stay safe. Good to my head.